Aaron Rodgers is about to be revealed in the top 10 of the NFL Network's annual Top 100 Players list. Where will he come in? We'll ask Alex Gelhar of NFL.com his opinion. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. At Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for training camp. We're getting ready for the NFL Network's top 100 list revealed tonight, the conclusion. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today. We have Alex Geller of NFL.com. Alex, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Brian.
No problem. Thanks for joining us on the show. And Alex, before we dig in, could you just introduce yourself a little bit to our audience? Let them know what led to you getting a job with the NFL.com and NFL Fantasy.
Sure thing. Well, I'm actually a fellow Cheesehead as well. I was born and raised in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, went to school at Marquette University. And then after I graduated from there, I moved out to Los Angeles originally to work in TV and film, was working in development there, reading scripts and trying to find books and stuff. And while I was climbing that path, I always kept my passion for football and was reading and studying as much as possible. And then an opportunity presented itself to work for the NFL, and I said I'd be a fool not to apply. So I applied and got in, and that was, geez, it'd be going on almost 5 years ago now. And I was there in digital features first, but always had an aptitude for fantasy and had been playing that since probably I was about 11 years old, thanks to my father, who introduced me to the Packers as well. So I've been doing work with the fantasy team, and now I've climbed up the rankings there as well, and kind of running our fantasy editorial department over there.
Do you still pledge allegiance to the Packers, or does as an official employee of the NFL, do you have to stay neutral?
Oh no, I still bleed green and gold. Okay. One nice thing about the NFL is they encourage us to embrace our fandom, and Sundays at the office are quite a hoot because everybody is, you know, all across the newsroom are cheering for different games and their team and stuff like that. So it's a really fun atmosphere.
Very cool. All right. Well, Alex, with the conclusion of the NFL Network's annual Top 100 list happening on Wednesday, I think Packers fans are interested in where Aaron Rodgers will fall on the list. Where do you predict he will come in?
Well, I mean, he should be number one because he's the league's best player at the league's toughest position. However, this year, I think he's probably going to slide back a little bit because it's crazy to think that a quarterback who threw for, you know, 3,800 yards and 31 touchdowns has had a down year, as some people have said. But that's kind of the perception of Rodgers. But I think the players, you know, because they're the ones that vote on it, still understand how good he is and all the things that kind of went wrong in Green Bay last year. So my guess is he'll slide anywhere between maybe number five and number eight, depending on how it all shakes out.
Okay. We'll find out tonight. So if not Rodgers, which player do you think will come in number one overall and why?
Well, I think it's probably going to be Cam Newton this year. This list, if you've looked at, you know, recent years of how the players have voted, it tended to take a little more impact from the past year when looking ahead to the next year. Like last year, J.J. Watt, I believe, was number one after a couple years of winning, you know, Defensive Player of the Year. And this year, after the season Cam had and as far as he took his team and just how much he elevated his game, both as a passer and a rusher, I think it's going to be him at number one this year.
Okay, I can buy that. Interestingly enough, I noticed you recently published your top 100 fantasy players of 2016 at NFL.com. So strictly from a fantasy perspective, you had Aaron Rodgers as the top quarterback in all of the NFL, but didn't have him until number 34 overall. So for all the Packers fans playing fantasy football out there, how long do they wait before pulling the trigger on Rodgers in their fantasy drafts?
Well, what I always tell people is, you know, pull the trigger when you want on a player like Aaron Rodgers. Fantasy is first and foremost all about having fun. So if you're going to have more fun every Sunday and Monday night cheering for Rodgers, both for the Packers and your fantasy team, then take him in the first round. He's a great player, and he can easily be taken there, depending on your league. I tend to wait on quarterbacks a little bit, so that's why he and Cam Newton and, you know, Russell Wilson and some of those other guys were a little farther down my top 100 list. But there's certainly nothing wrong with jumping on Rodgers in the first or second round if you want to, because, I mean, I would expect him to push for 40 touchdowns again, maybe get a couple on the ground and have a really good bounce back, quote unquote, year after what I thought was still a fine year last year.
Yeah, sounds good to me. We're talking to Alex Gellar of NFL.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Alex, now that all of the players have been revealed on this top 100 list of the NFL networks, we know that neither Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson nor Randall Cobb made the list. Two players that have made it in seasons past. Do you agree that they're not among the top 100 players in the NFL?
Well, I think Cobb, the first year he was on it, too, was in the 90s somewhere. So it was easier to see him kind of getting bumped out when he had a tough injury-plagued year without Jordy on the field. But Jordy's the one I think should have been in there as well. But again, as I kind of mentioned earlier, still the players oftentimes put a little more stock into what recently happened. And it's not all of the players in the NFL that get the vote. Mm-hmm. So maybe Jordy was on a couple lists but didn't quite get enough to make the cut. But I think he's well known now that he's one of the, you know, top five or six wide receivers in the league when healthy, and he's got that mind meld with Aaron Rodgers. So it's a bummer he didn't make it this year because of the injury, but if he's out there for a full season next year, there's no way he's off the list the year after that.
I think if I remember correctly, Jordy Nelson was the top Packers player on your fantasy players list at, I forget numbers, 18 overall or something like that off the top of my head. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, he actually might have been even a little higher than that because I have him still firmly in the top 10 wide receivers. So he might have snuck in a little higher at like maybe 14 or 13.
There we go. When you published your top 100 fantasy players, you had Packers running back Eddie Lacy ranked number 18 overall. Okay, he was 18, and you had him as your number 10 running back. Do you envision him rebounding in 2016?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, Lacy had his off-field issues and weight and stuff last year and got a little nicked up, but when he's been healthy and in shape, he's proven through 2 years in the NFL what kind of player he is. And that's a guy that's going to be able to, you know, rush for over 1,100 yards and do some damage through the air and be a bulldozer when we need him to get into the end zone. So I think if people are down on him, they're making a huge mistake, and they're putting too much stock in what happened last year, because we've seen the type of player Eddie Lacy is, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was injured with his collarbone, and Eddie Lacy helped carry the offense through those couple weeks. And even last year, even 2 years ago, when he was improved his ability in the passing game and really proved he could be a three-down back. So I 100% expect him, as long as he shows up to camp in shape, to turn in another good season. I mean, he's also playing for a new contract, so we know that that's motivated a lot of guys in the past to put up big statistical years. And in fantasy, that's something we got to take account of.
So we talked a little bit about the players who didn't make the list, but the other two Packers players that did were linebacker Clay Matthews at number 57 and defensive lineman Mike Daniels at number 95. Do you think that's an accurate reflection of their talents?
I think Clay, it sounds close. I could have seen him getting up a little higher because of the versatility he showed last year, not playing his natural position and actually playing, you know, pretty well in the linebacker spot, all things considered. But Mike Daniels at number 95, I wish he was higher because I think he remains one of the most criminally underrated linemen in all of the NFL. I'm glad he's on the list and starting to get his due, but the impact he has on a play-to-play basis and the disruption he causes is got to be up there, even just behind the top guys like J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald. So I would have loved to see him get higher, but I'm just happy he's on the list and starting to get his due because, as everybody in Wisconsin knows, that guy's a stud.
Yeah, I think when the 2015 season ended and they were putting together like team MVP, Mike Daniels ended up being, you know, the guy named as the Packers team MVP this past season. So I think that alone says a lot about him. But Alex, speaking of Clay Matthews here, what do you make of this war of words going back and forth between the NFL and the NFLPA regarding this investigation into PEDs? Because obviously we're interested in it because Matthews and Julius Peppers are involved, and they're going to be interviewed by the NFL sometime before camp. It's kind of a lingering cloud overhead right now.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I don't know the full story on that. I mean, I know what's going on, but I haven't dove into all the details because that's not really my realm at work. I'm not so much news, like more fantasy and things like that. But I hope that the NFL doesn't react too harshly on this or anything. But if Packers fans are worried whether or not they missed time this year, the one thing I would say, you know, encouragingly is that a lot of times these things can take forever in the NFL. You know, the first Deflategate punishment we saw took forever to get handed out, and then it got appealed and went pushed back and stuff like that. So the NFLPA is good at defending players, and we'll have to see how this all shakes out. But at least, you know, for the short term, we should feel okay that nothing too drastic should happen immediately.
Well, as far as good news goes, what can we look forward to in the next Fantasy Live podcast you produce?
You know, that's a great question because, as you know, right now we are in the dark time of the NFL offseason where all the players and coaches and stuff have gone away. So we'll have to conjure up something fun, maybe a new sort of game or something else with the guys to have a little fun and get a little good fantasy analysis in there. I hadn't quite thought ahead to next week's episode yet, but hopefully we'll be having a good time, and everybody that listens can find it on iTunes or NFL.com/podcast enjoys as well.
We'll have our audience go there and check it out. Alex, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us this morning. Alex is way out on the West Coast and agreed to get up at this early hour to talk to us. So, Alex, thanks for doing that. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll send people to NFL.com and the podcast, okay?
Oh, my pleasure. It's never too early to get up and talk Packers, Brian, anytime.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Take care, and let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks much.
Sounds good. Alex Geller of NFL.com talking to us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have you joining us, the listener. Glad to have Alex joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
So for our first episode post July 4th, post-Independence Day. It's been a while since we've last had an episode, so a little bit of roundup here in some of the couple rather minor news items, because once again, we are at the time of year, it's the dead period, as Alex said, in the NFL, where everybody in, you know, the NFL family pretty much takes vacation over Independence Day. Getting that rest in before training camp start, you know, in just a few weeks. But the one thing that happened late last week, I think the news came out on Friday, so we're talking July 1st here, and we haven't had an opportunity to discuss it on the show, but I'll just kind of briefly go through it right now. 3 Green Bay Packers games will be added to YouTube from the results of a fan vote conducted at Facebook last week. All this according to a press release from the NFL. So the NFL did this for every team in the NFL. Finally, for the first time, full entire games are going to be posted to YouTube. And that's without like the commercials and without like the halftime show and stuff like that. So pretty much just straight football action and analysis from the game broadcast, whether they were on Fox or CBS or wherever they ended up, you know, happening to be. And so the results of the vote here, the 3 games are the past 2 Super Bowl wins the Packers were involved in. So we're not talking about Super Bowl 1 or 2 here. We're talking about 31 and 45. So the other one was the Packers game versus Oakland in 2003 following the death of Brett Favre's father. So the way it broke down, when fans voted upon them, Super Bowl XLV led the way with 35% of the vote. And I happen to think it was probably influenced heavily in that it was one of the more recent games that you know that was up for election, so to speak. And I think people just want to see a big game that's in recent memory. For the younger audience, has a lot of players they recognize, like Aaron Rodgers and Brian Bulaga, et cetera. There's not a whole lot left on this team anymore from that team in 2010 here, 6 years later. But there's a handful, and arguably the most recognizable player on the team with Aaron Rodgers. Favre's performance versus the Raiders in 2003 came in second with 30% of the vote. And then finally, the Super Bowl 31 performance, led by Brett Favre, was third at 17%. So those will be uploaded to YouTube, and all it says is sometime before the 2016 season. The NFL really hasn't, set a firm date in stone or anything like that. I don't know if they mean this before the start of the preseason or the regular season, but sometime in the very near future, if you have a little bit of patience, you could check out full Packers games on YouTube at some point in the future. And I tend to think this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of putting games on YouTube. Now, I wouldn't expect them to do it immediately after a game. Maybe they may do it once in a blue moon, shortly after a game is completed or something like that. But I think this is about growing the game, especially to like the international audience who may have a hard time finding the NFL and pro football on TV. Say if you live in Australia, New Zealand, or anywhere, South America, Europe. Maybe you can find the occasional game, but for those people really wanting to watch more of their favorite teams and players and things like that, this is an opportunity for them to do so, and especially great games. Some of the, for every team in the NFL, some of the what people consider to be the best games, and so I think that's the purpose of that is to grow the game a little bit more and just promote the game and just waste some time on YouTube and watch things. So I imagine more will be released over time, but this is the initial phase that the NFL is officially releasing. Yeah, who knows? There may be some games out there, pirated or put up without the NFL's consent, but these will be high quality videos that they'll be uploading to YouTube, like I said, some point in the very near future. So that just announced within the past week. Other NFL news here recently, the league announced the annual supplemental draft will take place July 14th. So next week, with six players eligible. With the NFL supplemental draft, there's always some sort of catch involved that the players take part. They were either kicked off their teams in college. Most of the time, it's for something bad too. Certainly not all the time, but a lot of the players, they were kicked out, or there's some legal trouble, or something happens. The NFL has published this list of players. We'll get more into the supplemental draft next week, but by no means are we going to get into it heavily, heavily like the regular NFL draft. But, seeing as it's one of the few things taking place next week before the start of training camp, we'll give it its due attention, which probably means we'll just briefly talk about it a little bit next week. So I didn't want to get into the players available or anything yet. The information is out there. If you want to search it, feel free to Google NFL Supplemental Draft 2016 or something like that. You will find information out there on these players. Certainly no stars involved, but maybe we'll talk about it a little more next week when it's a little bit closer. And find out, or speculate at least, if the Packers may invest a draft pick into the supplemental draft. I wouldn't necessarily anticipate it, but you just never know. And they could always sign one of these players after the NFL draft is too, just as kind of a free agent, which maybe a little bit more risk there involved. Seeing as the Packers do have, they have two open roster spots. One point there, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago. The Packers have the most room in the entire NFL on their roster. Every other team has 80 or 89 or 90 roster spots filled. The Packers actually have two open spots that they can fill, and I anticipate they will before the start of training camp here. So within the next month, I would anticipate the Packers signing two more players, or at least one more, to kind of just get some bodies in here. And especially with the extra long preseason this year, they're going to need them. So we'll find out who they sign, like I said, within the past month. One more kind of Packers news. I'm stretching on this one, but saw it reported by the Green Bay Press Gazette yesterday. The Pro Football Hall of Fame announced artists that will play during Hall of Fame weekend. And this is notable for, you know, kind of a couple Packers connections. Number one, Brett Favre is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, as well as former Packers coach Kevin Green, a little bit to a lesser extent, notable at least. And on top of that, because of this, the Packers were chosen as one of the two teams to play in the Hall of Fame game that weekend against the Indianapolis Colts. But so Lee Greenwood will play during halftime of the Hall of Fame game. So during the game itself, during halftime, so televised, I believe, on ESPN, you'll be able to check him out. And then country star Tim McGraw will play on the Friday before the game. So both before the game and the induction ceremony, there's a concert being held is just kind of something that I don't think is going to be televised. But if you you know, are a Packers fan and you're going out there for all the festivities, the game, the induction ceremony, you can actually check this out as, you know, just local entertainment in town in Canton, Ohio for the weekend. McGraw is notably a friend of Brett Favre. So whether that was a factor in the decision to invite him is up for debate. I haven't really seen that published anywhere. But anyway, there you go. Entertainment options for the Packers audience heading to Canton, Ohio for Hall of Fame weekend. And that's coming pretty darn quick. Just after the start of training camp in early August, we'll be talking about games in the very near future. So that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
So within, you know, the next 24-hour period or within the next few days, there's not a ton going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers, but to give you the deets, the details on the NFL Network's top 100 list, top 100 players of 2016. So whereas most episodes of the top 100 reveal 10 players in 1 hour, the top 10 get two times the attention. The top 10 players will be revealed in 2 1-hour episodes that air consecutively at 7 o'clock p.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, we're talking here, on the NFL Network on Wednesday, so today, July 6th. Then at 10 o'clock p.m., there will be a one-hour reaction show hosted by Amber Theo Harris, Eric Davis, Michael Irvin, and Ike Taylor that will include interviews with some of the players revealed in the top 10. I got this information from a press release by the NFL, so whether or not they show interviews with Aaron Rodgers or not, I'm not exactly sure. All they say is some of the players that will be interviewed in the top 10. And we know the NFL's already announced Aaron Rodgers will be revealed. We just don't know where he's going to fall on the list. So we find out tonight. I know the NFL, you know, the online side at NFL.com is kind of, you know, previewing, anticipating this event by releasing all sorts, you know, like some of the writers are releasing their own top 100 lists. So you know, a one person's own opinion as opposed to the network side, which is, you know, voted upon by NFL players themselves. So there you go. That's the details for when it will be broadcasted tonight. I'm sure, you know, it'll be, you'll be able to get it on demand or whatever after it airs. You can watch, you know, DVR it, whatever. But that's how it broadcasts live this evening. And that's pretty much about it at this time of year. Like I said, you know, in just a few weeks, we're going to have a whole lot, plenty more Packers and football news to talk about. But for now, it's pretty skimpy. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. As we have shows typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with the exception of holidays like the 4th of July we had on Monday. But already got lined up for us our next guest on Monday. We have Scott McKenna joining us as he does for his monthly engagement. So we'll be talking to him on Friday about some Packers football. So excited to talk to Scott then. And yeah, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask, because this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask in return is if you head to iTunes, search Cheesehead DB, it'll pop right up. Give us the 5-star rating and a brief little review. You don't have to write a novel, but we greatly appreciate it because it helps us get word out about the show. And that's what I want. I want people to find the best Packers podcast on the internet. You know that's the case. So tell other people. And this is how you tell other people, by putting a review and a rating down. Thanks, folks. That'll do it. We'll see you Friday. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack.